Welcome, believers. This is Lucha Lowdown. I am your host and El Jefe of this podcast, James Kincaid. With me tonight, as always, El Guapo Jeff Budd.
Welcome to my couch, James.
We are giving you a special episode of Lucha Lowdown this week because Jeff and I were privileged enough to enjoy Lucha en Vivo. We got to go down this weekend for Lucha Underground, brought to you by Cricket Wireless. They were in Escondido right outside San Diego, California, doing the Tamale Festival.
Tamale Festival.
Yeah, so the good people of El Rey Network and Lucha Underground were courteous enough to have us out there and let us do a couple of interviews. So we took in Lucha Underground live, both for our very first time because we've not been able to venture to the temple yet. But Jeff, overall thoughts on just Lucha Underground experience this weekend?
Dude, it's just a fun experience when you get to see them in person. I thought the entire presentation was done really well. It was a cool venue, and also it was just like a gorgeous day, so the whole thing was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a beautiful day in the San Diego area. It was awesome. It was definitely warm out, but it wasn't too hot, especially with everything going on. But yeah, they had a really cool setup there. I thought everything was organized really well for everything they had going on. We got to go right into, as you know, we are a very reputable Lucha Underground podcast here.
Kind of like the Lucha Underground podcast. That's how I sell it.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, so we went right in. It was cool. One of the things that I was sort of was just taken in by, and I am when I cover events like this, it was cool. Like, we walk in and we just see like Ivelisse just getting ready for her match later on, and Jack Evans just being a cut up and everything, and Helico. What did you think about all that?
I thought that was really cool. It was kind of like pulling back the curtain, you know, and getting to see like the real inside thing. What I liked was the entire experience, because you have interviewed people before and you've kind of already ingratiated yourself to a certain degree with El Rey and everything. I felt like that scene in Goodfellas, and you were Ray Liotta and I was your date, and you're taking me backstage, and they're playing that Crystal song, and you're shaking hands with everybody. You're a real big deal, and then we get a table right up front.
Damn right we do. Yeah, we were front and center for the show. We had choice seats.
Yeah,
it was great. And like I said, big thank you to everyone at El Rey and Cricket Wireless for having us. It was a phenomenal weekend of a lot of Lucha Libre themed stuff, which we will get into. So yeah, they filled out. I mean, the crowd, it was a packed house at the venue too, and they definitely you know, they had a DJ and everything going. It was a really fun vibe even before the event got started. Right off the get-go, we saw this this believer dressed as Dario Cueto right down to the key and everything like that. He was awesome, and he just started yelling, "Ring the bell." I thought it was great just seeing that. You know, for as much it wasn't like scorching hot, it was too hot to be wearing that kind of costume, but he still was doing it. The people wearing the lucha mask were still doing it. I was thinking about that actually while a lot of the performers were going. It's like, man, that is a hell of a thing to have to go out there outdoors and perform in a venue like that, because it does get super hot. I mean, I can only imagine what it's like in the costumes and everything.
Yeah, I was thinking about that as the matches were going on, because you could kind of see how sweaty some of them were getting. And then, like, you know, two of the people that we saw were Drago and Aerostar. And, I mean, those guys are kind of decked out, especially Drago when he first comes out. And then Aerostar, I mean, he wears, like, a full-body outfit the entire match, which is a real pain in the ass.
Sears in the juices, as it were. But, yeah, so let's get to the matches. And then one cool thing was, it's like, this is outside the temple. So it was really encouraging, and we were talking with the good people at El Rey about this, you know, seeing at all these different cities how people are coming out for Lucha Underground. It's not just LA, and that, you know, they're reaching a lot of different places. So hopefully, everything I've heard is these shows have been going really well. So hopefully they do more of them when they're not filming. I'd love to see them come up to the Bay Area, but yeah, we'll see how that goes. But the first match, we had a triple threat match right off the bat, kicked off by Melissa Santos, because I had actually read, and I don't know if maybe this was the case at some of the other cities that were in, maybe not everybody traveled, but I read online that Rey Mysterio was actually the ring announcer at some of these things. I don't know if that was, maybe it was a misprint or something like that, but Melissa was there in the flesh doing her work, and she kicked it off, which was great. It was, you know, because Cricket Wireless was so integral in putting this on, you know, they were getting plug after plug, because rightfully so, they were, you know, some of the orchestrators of Lucha en Vivo here. But it was funny because hearing Melissa give them their plugs in the way that she did, and then later on, the mayor of Slamtown did it in a very different way multiple times, which I thought was hilarious. But the first match was a triple threat, and right off the bat, we got to see someone that we have not even seen debut yet in Lucha Underground proper. We got Rabbit Tribe's arrival. We got Paul London coming out. What did you think of just seeing him come out?
Well, I mean, over the past few weeks, you and I have been excited because the trailers have been pretty intriguing. They have, like, a cool look we saw in the trailer. Actually getting to see him in action is like, dude, I'm really looking forward to seeing this guy. And you and I, we both avoid spoilers, so we didn't really know anything about the White Rabbit Tribe other than what's been shown on the show. But, yeah, he's entertaining. He was cool. And I loved his whole look and gimmick. I think they're awesome. He's one of my favorite tribes now.
I really enjoyed that he comes out to a version of White Rabbit. It's one of my favorite songs, and it's just, I feel like it really, not just because of the Rabbit Tribe, but it fits like a kind of their whole vibe and
what
everything.
What they're doing, yeah, it's more than just it being the same animal as them also. Yeah, it's that psychedelic feel, and yeah, the weird, they're bizarre. They're a bizarre tribe, so it fits.
Yeah, and we got to meet all of them eventually throughout the show, but so we got to see Paul London come out, and that was very cool, and it was I've not seen him in Lucha Underground, but a local pro wrestler Bestia, I believe Seis is his full name because it's like Mark of the Beast, and then Mil Muertes in the match kicked off, and Mil looked he's in phenomenal shape, and he looked just super imposing. It was cool to see him live and him do, and we were right up front, so to see him doing his shtick right in front of us, like as he was coming out, was awesome. What did you think about seeing Mil?
Dude, he's just very intimidating, and like. It's funny because it was a great crowd and everybody was really rowdy, but like you kind of do shut down a little bit when Mil Muertes comes out, you know, and everybody is just sort of in awe and staring at him.
Guy's cool. Can't wait to see him win in the next Grave Consequences match.
I don't think that's going to happen unless for whatever reason, another Grave Consequences match happens before Prince Puma fights him.
Although I do think that we maybe got a little bit of a tease of what might happen in Grave Consequences, but we'll get to that in just a moment. What did you think of the triple threat match?
I thought the match was cool, especially since I wasn't familiar with two of the guys, basically. Because this was outdoors, I didn't know exactly how it was going to go with some of the stunts and everything, but it's like, man, they really sacrificed themselves and their bodies and like just throwing themselves outside of the ring, and you know how some of those moves go. It's strange seeing it in person in a venue like that. And it's like, I applaud all of them. They did a great job, but oof, not for me.
There were a couple times in this match with Paul London in particular when he just sort of, when he took a bump to the outside and just sort of like skidded along the padding that they had down there, which was very minimal. I was like, oh, that has to be extremely painful.
That was just a bad day, you know?
Yeah, but so in this match, I mean, they did a lot of cool stuff with selling the fact that basically neither Paul London nor Bestia could really even hurt Mil. Like he was kicking a lot of ass, but then what is it? Eventually, the rest of the White Rabbit Tribe showed up, and they helped Paul London to secure the victory.
Yeah, what did they incapacitate Mil Muertes and then help him beat Bestia, or well, like kind of knock Bestia, and then he was able to get the pinfall that way. And that way Muertes can interrupt it, I think.
Correct, yes. So then, so Paul London, through the help of the rest of his tribe, got the win, but he was very much so worse for the wear because Mil Muertes then came back and was not pleased about that, kicked everyone's ass until the return of King Cuerno showed up, and he exacted some revenge on Mil Muertes for what happened in the death match, saying, you know, that it's not over. I got to be honest, I didn't know King Cuerno could speak English, and certainly not as eloquently and articulately as he could. That came as a big surprise to me.
Yeah, it was just kind of cool to see King Cuerno cut a promo right there in the ring right afterward. And then also, it's funny, it kind of lets us know a little bit about what's going on in the story that we don't, you know, we're not familiar with yet, and especially since he's one of the guys that you've kind of been keeping your eye out for, and we haven't seen him, and it's like he's back, and he's back with a vengeance. The other thing I was going to say about the White Rabbit Tribe was I was imagining just a bunch of little white rabbits all attacking Mil Muertes at the same time, and it's just strength in numbers. Even Mil Muertes can't fight like a dozens of little white rabbits.
It's like Magic the Gathering. It's White Weenie.
Yeah, all right. But you know that's my color, so don't even.
But white's the deck that I roll with, so that totally.
Monocolor, you noob.
I prefer monocolor. So it was cool to see King Cuerno just show up in general. Like we had not seen him outside of the trailer, which you pointed out when we were watching, you know, he has not been in this season. And if I hadn't really thought about it, is that he was barely in the trailer too. So
yeah.
It was cool to see him pop up in such a prominent way. And what I was alluding to earlier was maybe we're going to see him now maybe show up this week on Lucha Underground as far as on TV and interfere in that Grave Consequences match to sort of reignite that. I don't know, but that's just something crossed my mind.
I hope that's not the case. I would like Puma and Mil Muertes, whichever way it goes, to just have like a clean finish. One of them just bested the other, and then that can just be the end of the feud. I think Cuerno can come out whenever and, you know, reignite the battle he has going on.
Yeah, and that's a good point, too, because we already had King Cuerno and sort of the Grave Consequences thing anyway when he kidnapped Mil last season, so maybe they wouldn't want to just redo that so soon after it happened also. And maybe King Cuerno won't get involved at all. Maybe that was just for us, just for the live crowd, you know, and they were just they were telling a story within, you know, that live show. So that definitely could be it as well. But it was fun seeing those three guys work a match and then King Cuerno showing up. The next match we got was Drago versus Aerostar, which, you know, if you've been following since season one, you know those guys can perform together very well. And they are currently also trios champions, so, you know, they work well together. Yeah, but two of our favorites, though, and I know I'm always more heavily in the Drago camp because I like his whole sort of Dark Knight Batman-type feel that he brings with him. It was cool seeing him come out in his full regalia, too. I loved that.
Yeah, and I've got my head in the clouds and my eyes towards the stars, so I guess I'm an Aerostar fan.
No, I want to see more with Aerostar's story, but it was cool getting to see them both do their entrances and everything like that, and just all, I mean, they're two of the more, like, recognizable lucha stars because of their outfits are so intricate.
Yeah, they have, like, very unique characters and looks, and then I love it because the two of them just have a great relationship together, a great, like, working chemistry, so their matches are always top-notch. Whether they're working on the same side or against each other, it's always very entertaining.
Yeah, and they did a lot of great stuff to the outside in this one, like you knew they would. What did you think of some of that?
No, there was one time, it wasn't in front of us, it was like to the right or whatever, and Aerostar like went flying out, and I was just like, oh god, man. It was like, I was just like, what a crappy afternoon that is, if that's what you're doing. I mean, and they loved it, and both of them did a phenomenal job, and the audience in Escondido was amazing, and really gave everybody support and just love. I mean, I love the entire environment. It was definitely just awesome lucha fans. So
yeah, and I really enjoyed the finish of the match too, because Drago busted out this like absolutely like batshit crazy pin, which eventually finished Aerostar. But it was like, it was a good finish because it kept both guys looking strong. They got to do all their signature stuff, and no one really got the better of the other. And then it just was this crazy like roll up type pin that Drago caught Aerostar with, and they did the mutual respect thing afterward. But I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, they're best buddies, and I'm glad that they, because we don't know what's going on. Maybe the two of them become enemies like in another episode or two. So it was nice to see that they still have a good relationship with each other.
Well, I even remarked during the match, I was like, well, you can't have Drago lose here. He's going to be in Aztec Warfare.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about that, but yeah.
He could be champion for all we know.
Possibly.
Yeah.
I doubt it, but yeah, maybe.
And that, so how this was working at the Lucha Underground live event was there were two shows. So both of them featured three matches. So that brought us to the main event of show one, which was King Cuerno in action against the Mac in a 2 out of 3 falls match. What did you think overall of that match?
I totally forgot it was 2 out of 3 falls until after the first fall. And I guess King Cuerno was the same way, you know, because he took his rest after the Mac got the first win.
Yeah, Matt caught the first fall with the stunner. I actually think out of all the matches that we got to see, I think overall this was probably the best match. I really enjoyed it. I loved getting to see both of them work live. I've seen the Mac work live before, but never King Cuerno. And I thought they worked a really great match. I like the 2 out of 3 falls stip, especially for a venue like this. I just thought it's a cool stipulation you can bring to a venue like this. And I loved seeing the arrow from the depths of hell live. That is one of my favorite moves in pro wrestling right now, and it did not disappoint. It's awesome.
No, it's a sick maneuver. And then referencing what you had said before about getting to see the wrestlers just sort of like in their regular format, it's like we actually did see both of them at ringside, you know, working out the match and things like that. And I didn't know what King Cuerno looked like with his mask off. I realized later that was him because he was talking to the Mac, and also I could see his hair under the mask. I was like, oh, it was that guy. That's who that was. And so it's cool seeing that side of it as far as just how they're putting the match together, and then actually seeing it be pulled through to fruition. It's like they did a great job. And that, yeah, I agree with you. That probably was the best match of the day.
And one of the through lines we'll get to that stood out in this match, but certainly in others as well, is being in an environment like that. It's similar to the temple and how intimate it is. So you get to see these wrestlers as showmen, not just with the moves they're doing, but with how they interact with the crowd. And they were all excellent at that, including the Mac, like speaking in Spanglish, depending on what was being hurled at him, what they want him to do. Cuerno, when he had a Cuerno chant going, just having his pecs bounce to the beat of the chant was amazing. It was great.
I forgot about that part. Yeah, that's something that you don't get to see on TV because you just can't do it with the television format. But there was a lot more give and take with the audience, I thought, as far as just how they interacted. We saw that a lot also with Jack later, just how he was screaming at the audience. I mean, you don't see him do that in matches. I mean, he's definitely a heel and everything, but just the level of interaction, how he was talking to people was great. And yeah, the Mac was hilarious.
And King Cuerno, I will point out, did prevail in the 2 out of 3 falls match. So that made me happy. It's not that I don't like the Mac, but I'm a big Cuerno guy, so I was happy to see him go over. And then Mil Muertes interfered in the end of that one too, did he not?
Yes, he did. It was all Cuerno's fault for starting trouble in the first place. And the thing is, it was such a rough 2 out of 3 falls with the Mac match that it's like, I'm sure at a certain point King Cuerno was like, oh, why did I do that earlier?
You reap what you sow. He got a flatliner for his troubles. And that's how they capped off the end of the first show.
And then Muertes was talking shit with the mic. I wasn't expecting that either because that's not his character.
That's right. We rarely get to see Mil Muertes speak, and certainly not more than like, you know, a couple of words and then just like a menacing, you know, yell. But yeah, he basically said that a death is coming for King Cuerno again, 1,000 of them. And that was awesome. Great mic drop moment. So that was the end of the first show, but we weren't done there because the mayor of Slamtown had to make an appearance, and he had to do his promotion for, you know, for Cricket Wireless. But Johnny Mundo was killing it in so many ways. He had a match in the second show, but I loved his appearance just to promote the sponsor here because he brought in one of the guys from Cricket Wireless, and he was just really hamming it up, talking about their like unlimited talk, text, and data, and everything like that. And what did you think of Johnny Mundo and everything he was doing?
It's funny because you have to do the promotions, and he did the promotions well, but he still did them in character, so it worked. It didn't seem cheesy or like you didn't roll your eyes or anything like, oh, this is what they have to get through. It's like, no, he still was very much Johnny Mundo promoting it, and that's what was funny about it. And then the 5-second pose with the guy from Cricket Wireless was funny.
Yeah, because Mundo takes his shirt off, and of course he's just, you know, he's shredded. So
body won't quit.
Yeah, and so, you know, he does the 5-second pose. But when he came out there, he's like, I wanted to thank, you know, the people most responsible for putting this on, and he just goes, me, Johnny Mundo, Mayor of Slamtown. It was just great, and that's such a great point by you, is that he was in full character doing the sponsor shtick, and that was really funny. And it was almost like the live version of getting a bonus scene at the end of a Lucha Underground episode. It's just seeing Johnny doing his thing. That ended the first show, and then we got to talk to King Cuerno and the Mac. In fact, let's go to those right now. A couple of quick interviews from the Lucha Underground and Vivo from the Tamale Festival in Escondido. All right, James Kincaid here at Lucha Underground en Vivo, brought to you by Cricket Wireless here in Escondido, California. And we're joined by the hunter himself, King Cuerno. King Cuerno, how you doing?
I'm good, James. Well, I'm beat up. It was a hell of a match just had with the Mac. 2 out of 3 falls, Lucha Underground style. And, well, I got the best of him. But, of course, the past always comes back. And Mil Muertes came back and hit me, but I think the hunt's going to be on for a while.
So even after that death match, you're looking forward to taking on Mil Muertes again, starting another hunt for him and maybe getting that pelt on your wall?
Absolutely. No, this time I don't want the belt. I want his head. I came back from the death, so this should give him a message. I'm coming back for him.
I gotta say, it's fantastic to see you back in action, because as watching season 3, we have not seen King Cuerno yet appear outside of the trailer for season 3, so it was nice to see you back in action. And what's the response been like from seeing the Believers out here at all these Lucha Underground live events?
Well, it's amazing, because like I said when I first came out, I'm back, and it feels great to be back and to have this meet and greet with the believers, to see them again after a while, and to have actually a match after a while, to have my back healed. I feel good. I feel just great and motivated and ready to go.
And so how is the atmosphere different, say, at these Lucha Underground En Vivo events compared to the Temple? What has that been like?
Well, I think the main difference is that in the Temple, we have like a kind of a controlled environment. It's a television show. We have cameras and timing. And here is just everything can happen. You know, anything can happen. And people can yell at you. They can cheer you or boo you. I think the anything can happen factor is bigger here at a live event.
Where would you like to see maybe Lucha Underground En Vivo go next? Any cities that you'd like to hit up or areas?
Well, in America or in Mexico?
Anywhere.
I'd like to do it in Mexico. Of course, let's go on and do it here in the States more and more and more, because since we're in L.A., there's a lot of believers all over the nation, and they want to see us. So we should hit the north, I don't know, everywhere, Midwest, but also Mexico. People from the borders, you know, like Juarez and Tijuana, they kind of see us. They're more in touch with the product, but more in the middle of the country or in Mexico City, they don't know us. So it'd be great if we could just tour Mexico.
Last one for you. I know it's a busy day for you. What does it mean to you to see all these believers come out from all these different cities, that it's not just Boyle Heights and that they're everywhere?
I think it's amazing. I feel really good that we're making a difference. We're delivering a different product, and people like it, people love it, and they show us their appreciation and their love every time, you know, social media, right now at the meet and greet, and also during the show. So to me, it's just, I love it.
Thank you very much, King Cuerno. Appreciate it. James Kincaid here for Lucha Lowdown. I'm here at Lucha Underground En Vivo here in Escondido, California, just out San Diego. And I'm being joined by The Mac. How are you doing today?
Hot, tired, but it was all worth it to come out here and entertain the folks of Escondido and try to eat some tamales along the way.
Yeah, did you get any tamales in here? We are at the Tamale Festival, after all.
No, I didn't get none yet. I'm working on it, trying to work my way over there, but I got to get dressed, and I don't feel like getting dressed. It's too hot.
It is a hot one out here, but what has the response been like for you as we've been doing these Lucha Underground live events outside the Temple?
It's crazy. I knew it was a lot of people that watched us on the road and whatnot, but they coming out and showing support. Hey, we want Lucha Underground in our city and town, and here we are, and they didn't disappoint. They really want us here, and it's been a great response.
Where would you like to see maybe Lucha Underground En Vivo go next? Any cities or parts of the country or internationally that you'd like to go?
Oh, yeah, of course. Japan, probably do a show in Mexico. Canada, because they have Lucha Libre out in Canada, too, surprisingly. And that's about, actually, China. That would be sweet if we could hit a Chinese place and get it over in China. I'm pretty sure they'll love it.
And what does it mean to you as being such a great performer for Lucha Underground to see all these Lucha Underground fans coming out in all these different cities? It's not just Boyle Heights. It's not just in the Temple. We're everywhere.
It feels great to know that you're actually doing something that's, it matters, because people out there watching, not just LA folks. So that shows that we're doing something right and reaching a lot of people who want something else different in wrestling, and we're it.
Last one for you. What can we expect to see from the Mac for the rest of season 3, if you want to give us a little tease?
You could expect to see the Mac a lot more involved and a lot more active than I already am. And yeah, just keep an eye out and back the Mac and support, and hopefully all my hard work will pay off. See what happens.
While we transition to the second show, it's important for me to tell you that not only was Cricket Wireless great, but we're great for bringing you free Lucha Underground Lucha Underground content with this podcast. So it would be really great if you could, if you don't already subscribe to us on iTunes, maybe you're listening to us via Audio Boom, which you can do. It'd be great if you subscribe to us on iTunes, rate us, review us. If you want to give us any feedback, follow us on at Lucha Lowdown on Twitter. And yeah, just interact with us, luchalowdown@gmail.com if you want to get in touch with us for anything, if any questions, anything you think that we should talk about. Yeah, we love having the audience interaction. You guys have been great. But yeah, tell your friends. And again, I know every podcast asks for it, but the ratings and reviews on iTunes really helps us out a lot. So we certainly would appreciate it. We love doing this podcast for you guys, and it's been a lot of fun. And with that, let's talk about the second show, which started out with Jack Evans and Ivelisse going at it. And Jack, when he came out, was one of those people that when I saw him, we've talked about this a little bit before, is that you cite Famous B. I cite Jack Evans as like one of the few true heels in wrestling right now in general. Just the way he came out with a cigarette, which I don't know why that's heel, but it is today. It's just something about him being a douche and carrying out a cigarette. And he's not even really smoking it, which is like even worse.
That's what makes him the heel. It's like, what are you wasting cigarettes for? You know how much those cost?
Yeah, they're expensive. But he comes out there, and he's talking about, I don't want anyone to cheer me. And he's just talking smack. It was a great entrance. And you mentioned, too, just watching him, even when he was warming up, just his, this is not about him being a true heel, but his innate athletic ability just out of nowhere is insane.
Dude, yeah, he's absurd as far as just how easy it is for him to just, like, do a flip out of nowhere. Like, no momentum, no buildup of any sort. You know, it's just he drops his stunts constantly, and he never seems to make a mistake. It's uncanny.
It's him versus Ivelisse. Ivelisse got a big pop, obviously. It was really cool to see Ivelisse in action. I'm a big Ivelisse fan. Jack Evans, at the start of the match, starts cutting a promo on Ivelisse, calling her the evil disease, which is pretty funny.
That kid got a kick out of it.
Yeah.
What I thought was weird was the whole point of the promo was that Jack just considers himself the baddest bitch in the building, rooftop or not.
Yeah, whether or not it has a ceiling. Yeah. I guess, well, he considers himself a bitch, but, you know.
Well, maybe of the Worldwide Underground.
I guess, well, no, as we found out that there's another member of the Worldwide Underground that we got to meet, which we'll talk about in a moment.
That's true. He's doing Charlie work.
He was, so maybe Jack Evans is pretty stoked on that. But yeah, so we got Jack Evans versus Ivelisse. I thought it was a lot of fun. I love a lot of what Ivelisse did with her sort of like MMA style kicks, and she did this one awesome. She did like a heel kick from like behind her back, essentially. Oh. That was sick.
Yeah, that almost seemed like some sort of fighting game move. You know what I mean? Because you don't know how effective it would be, but boom, yeah, just connected right with him, and he sold it. It was great.
Yeah, they worked really well together. Ivelisse picked up the win, and then it was a Pyrrhic victory, though, as Jack Evans warned at the start of the match that no matter what, she was going to have to pay for her erroneous claim as being the baddest bitch in the building.
This seems to be happening to Ivelisse a lot lately, and this is why it's important to bring your boyfriend to work with you, because she once again got overpowered because she was outnumbered.
Yeah, Worldwide Underground showed up and started beating the crap out of Ivelisse, and then the White Rabbit Tribe, two of the members showed up, not Paul London, it was, I don't even know their names, the guy in the checkered bodysuit, and, so they showed up, and that, and one of the cool things, too, was just, before the show, we saw that the executive producer Krista Joseph was hanging out there. Vampiro was hanging out, and then Vampiro got involved after this happened, and he's cutting a promo that he's not gonna, he's kind of filling in for Dario Cueto because he said he'd gotten strict instructions from him.
Exactly.
And he called for a 6-man tag match. It was cool seeing Vampiro do his thing, right?
Oh, it was just kind of cool seeing Vampiro in person. And he's exactly how I expected him to be, as far as how he carries himself, just the expression on his face. He's just a cool dude.
Yeah, it was. And so he set up a 6-man tag. So Ivelisse and Jack Evans were doing double duty. It was the Worldwide Underground featuring Taya, Jack Evans, and new recruit Ricky Mandel, who looks like a very he looks like a depowered Johnny Mundo. Yeah.
He's a Johnny Mundo stuntman, or like if Johnny Mundo's movie, then he's like the Johnny Mundo on TV or something. Or you know what it is? Johnny Mundo was the star of the original Worldwide Underground movie. The sequel that went straight to DVD is starring Ricky.
Yeah, absolutely. Because he even got, like, the sunglasses and the bandana on and stuff like that. It's just like, oh, it's a guy that's, like, he's wearing a Johnny Mundo Halloween costume, essentially.
And then Vampiro went and called him by name. He's just, yeah, the sunglasses guy.
This guy, I don't even know who you are. And then, yeah, so it was Ivelisse and the two members of the White Rabbit Tribe. They worked a really fun six-man tag match, I thought. The guy in the checkered suit was doing a lot of weird crap, like almost Gold Dust-esque stuff. Although, like, he was like trying to hump Taya and stuff, creeping her out. That was hilarious
and awesome.
Yeah, I don't blame him. But I thought, again, it was awesome seeing Taya do her thing live too. I think she is tremendous. She gets it as far as how to work the crowd, her facial expressions, her body control, just her body language and everything like that. And she's a really talented wrestler. To me, she, again, is a total package. I loved seeing her working live. That was awesome. What'd you think of the six-man tag?
It was great. Kind of like what you were talking about to build off of the compliments of Taya, just because we were in the corner where Worldwide Underground was, we were like right behind them. Especially like at a live show like that, it's kind of cool to just hear all the dialogue that they say to each other and how much they're in character throughout the match. And, you know, her and Jack screaming things during the match. I mean, it's cool. It's funny. And then the sunglasses situation, like all of that was really awesome.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot because seeing Taya sort of scold Jack and basically trying to tell him what to do and everything like that. And then they finally had Ricky Mandel start the match. And then Jack talking about, you know, that everyone will know his name by the end of the match and everything. But it was a really fun match. And the finish was hilarious, too, because, you know, as the Rabbit Tribe interfered for Paul London, then Paul London came down and he had carrots. Yep. He had carrots with him and he started attacking Worldwide Underground with carrots, which is ridiculous. And it ended with the Rabbit Tribe and Ivelisse, I think, all gang pinning Taya, if I'm not mistaken. It was either gang pinning Taya or Jack Evans. I don't remember. But it was hilarious that he actually brought down carrots. He started throwing them to the crowd. It was insane.
And then also, like, once again, the analogy of just a bunch of little rabbits all attacking you at the same time. Nobody's immune to it.
Yep. It's going to be a thing. Well, it just goes, we're both excited to see what the Rabbit Tribe now is going to do in Lucha Underground. So it was an excellent, like, advertisement for them now that they're coming.
Yeah, that was our first impression of them, and I thought it went really well. Both their matches were a lot of fun. And they interacted really cool, They interacted very well with the audience. They seemed like really fun and cool dudes. That one kid shook his hand and he just like kind of pulled him and they were all dancing around him.
Yeah, that's right. The good memory. Yeah, so after they had won, so the Rabbit Tribe, they pulled an audience member out of the crowd and they basically did like a tea party dance all around him in a circle, and like he really sold that they had made him dizzy and everything. Like it was like taking them under their White Rabbit Tribe spell. So that was very cool. Yeah, and then just seeing the Worldwide Underground crawl away in defeat was also hilarious. Taya was really selling it well. It was awesome, and that brought us to the second show's main event, which was, as Johnny Mundo had announced during his Cricket Wireless thing, that it was going to be a San Diego street fight with a South African string bean and Helico. And so Johnny Mundo and Helico and an Anything Goes San Diego street fight, you'd think that'd be enough, but they added a lot to this that I was not expecting. We were kind of scoping it out. We saw that there were piñatas. You'd seen Angelico and Johnny Mundo sort of checking out the structural integrity of the DJ stand. And so we knew they were going to do some wild stuff. And this match, this is one of the most wild matches I've ever seen just in general, not just live. This was crazy.
Yeah, there was a plethora of piñatas. And yeah, once again, it was really cool getting to see them before the match, just kind of walk the perimeter and check things out, and seeing them shaking the DJ stand. Mundo is just entertaining and charismatic. Him walking out and how he carried on with everybody. Also, when you were taking video, and he just starts flexing for us.
Yeah, I was taking a photo, and so first of all, when Mundo came out, he did give us the two sweet high five, the click high five. Yes, that was awesome. But so. And Helico's making his entrance. I got in a couple photos, and I see Mundo just standing in the ring. So I was like, you know, I'm gonna get a photo of him. He catches sight of me, and he does this like really over the top flex and grin at me, and then I just give the thumbs up, and we both start laughing. It was his play to the crowd was phenomenal. Johnny Mundo, like, I mean, we're already huge fans of his, but he even earned more points with me.
Yeah, dude, his performance was bulletproof.
That's right. That's right. I forgot. Before the match started, he started talking about how this, just to clarify, that the match was not going to be for the Gift of the Gods Championship. That it's under, he wanted to say bulletproof glass back at the temple, but he said bulletproof. And it got over with the crowd. A bulletproof chant started because he rolled with it and he had fun with it.
Yeah, he had the right idea. Melissa was laughing. He goes, "What are you laughing at, Melissa? You laughing at the fact that I said bulletproof when I was trying to say bulletproof?"
Just their chemistry. He's such a natural, entertaining guy on the microphone. And I love that Lucha Underground has allowed him to be that, because I feel like seeing him now and how he is in Lucha Underground, and look, I really enjoyed him in WWE, but he always felt so, like, I felt like whatever the writing or whatever the direction they gave him sort of like crushed that natural charisma about him. He's just a really naturally charismatic guy in the ring and on the mic.
Yeah, he's just an entertaining, funny guy. He comes off like that in interviews and stuff, too. So I think what we see now with the Lucha Underground, Johnny Mundo, is more like the actual guy himself. And, I mean, nothing against WWE. I love the company. I grew up with the company, and I'm still a fan. But I can think of a lot of performers that, you know, I wonder how much they stifle them as well, too, and we don't get to see the personalities that we should. And then people complain about it, and it's like, well, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, and you're right. And I too, still love WWE, always will. But it's just, it's interesting how much he has found this zone in Lucha Underground. So with San Diego Street Fight, some absolutely batshit crazy stuff happened in this match. I think like the first weapon that they both went for was like the part of the turnbuckle, like the metal turnbuckle post, which is a horrific weapon to use. That could do some real damage. Johnny Mundo running away from it though was great, and then seeing Johnny Mundo with the chair shots looked vicious as hell, and just
sounded vicious.
Yeah, Mundo's reaction to him though too, just be like, "Oh, that hurt," and just crawling on the ground. He's like, "No more of those." But let's get to the meat of what happened in this match, and that is, first of all, they used the pinatas, of course, which we knew they would. So candy is spilling all over the place. Jeff, what happens when you're at a like kind of a fairground setting and there's a bunch of pinatas with breaking candy going on?
The children start swarming like white rabbits.
And they did. They were all start. So all the kids start running from their seats, going for the candy because they've been conditioned to do as such. But there's a match going on, which, look, I know is probably, like, in hindsight, maybe not the best idea. But I thought it was awesome, and I thought it worked. I love the fact that these two guys were going at it, and children were trying to get candy from these broken pinatas. People were, you know, they were trying again, you know, trying to get their kids back to their seats. Even sweet Melissa Santos, like, because she sort of has, like, she had a great degree of control over the crowd, so I think she realized that if she told the children to go back to their seats, that they would listen. So even she had to get involved at some point. But I mean, they kept running in for candy. I know it was such a crazy scene, but it made it feel more authentic to me. I don't know if you felt the same.
You got that aura of realism to it. I mean, it was funny. I was nervous for the kids, and I felt bad for the performers, because then they were sort of like high stepping and having to move around because there was. It was like 20 kids or something like that all over the room, and a few adults running to get the candy, and then people were just not listening. And
I wanted some sweet tarts.
You didn't have to reach that far for it, but some people were really diving right there at ringside. It was ridiculous.
I loved it again, and I wish I had grabbed like one of the pinata heads to keep, but oh well. I thought it was great. I thought it added to it, and then. Because of Taya's sneaky interference was great too, because she was using the crowd as a shield to like sneak up on Angelico when they were fighting over by the DJ booth, and that led to Angelico getting a powerbomb through a table. What'd you think of that?
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, we got to see her crawling over. That's one of those things when you only get it if you're like, you know, at the event, and just the little bit of storytelling that's going on there. Yeah, how she slowly snuck over, and then that's kind of when everything started to just go crazy.
Yeah, so Taya got involved, and then once again, the White Rabbit started getting involved, Worldwide Underground getting involved, and it just becomes this huge melee. First of all, Mundo could not put Angelico away, so Mundo started beating the crap out of referee Marty Elias and knocked him out, so that's when the pandemonium really started. And I'm talking about everyone that performed on the show ended up coming out here at the end. Drago and Aerostar came out to help. The White Rabbit Tribe was there with way more carrots. Evil East was out there. Mil Muertes showed up, and what did Mil Muertes do, Jeff?
The best was because a lot of those guys, they didn't really seem to be on anybody's side. They were just there to beat the crap out of each other. So Drago and King Cuerno were fighting, and Cuerno was getting the worst of it, and Drago was stomping him. Mil Muertes comes out. He only wants King Cuerno, so he kind of punches through Drago to then begin beating up King Cuerno. It's like, Drago was just annihilated because he was in between.
And in what I thought maybe was the moment of all of the matches was after Marty Elias had taken this beating, he started like hulking up and started beating up the wrestlers. Like he took out Taya and Ricky Mandel, and then there was a big gaggle of wrestlers on the outside. And Marty went to the top rope and did a top rope splash to everyone on the outside. It was awesome. I was not expecting that.
Yeah, and the audience completely ate it up, and there were a ton of Marty chants, that's for sure.
And then eventually, in spite of all of this, and I cannot stress enough just how much madness this was, eventually, I believe Angelico powerbombed Mundo through the table that had been set up in the corner, and that was good enough for the 1-2-3. Yeah, and that was good enough for the 1-2-3, and that's how it all ended. I will say this, though, one more thing with Mundo and his sponsorship stuff. Towards the start of the match, when he had Angelico down, he says, "You better call for help. You better do it using Cricket Wireless unlimited data and text."
I forgot about that.
It was amazing. It was just so seamless on how to it was great. And I forget what match it was and who did it, but it was like, "Oh, I see you can count to five. Now count to three."
That was Ricky doing the push-ups when it was the tag match. And, yeah, it was only a two count, and then so he started doing the push-ups. And, yeah, that was hilarious. That was really good.
But, yeah, so Angelico ended up prevailing, which I think is the right call. You know, get the face, the win to go out on and everything. And it was such a crazy match, though. It didn't really matter who won anymore. Marty Elias won the match. That was essentially what it was. Yeah, it was a great time. You know, there was meet and greet opportunities with the wrestlers and stuff like that. It was a great event for Lucha Underground and just, you know, I thought it was great exposure for them.
It was, and as they even said to us, you know, it evidenced how much of a following they have outside of Los Angeles and San Diego. You did a great job of supporting the product, so hopefully we'll see a lot more of that to come. Not only just in San Diego, but who knows where else. It'll be terrific.
Well, that is going to do it for us tonight, this very special edition of Lucha Lowdown, because we saw Lucha en Vivo just outside San Diego in Escondido at the Tamale Festival. It was phenomenal. Thank you so much again, Lucha Underground, Cricket Wireless, and El Rey for having us. It was amazing. And that is going to do it for us. For Jeff Budd, I'm James Kincaid. Good night, everybody.